What's the last, we were doing a little Asya Vamasya, Mandala 1, Sukta 164, and we stopped for a little bit. And I wanted to just start with another one. Let's see, verse 9 or 10. We'll just do 9 just to begin. The mother sky was associated in sustaining the burthen of the fulfiller of desires, the earth. The embryo, water, rested within the womb of the clouds. Thereupon the calf bellowed and beheld the omniform cow in three combinations. And that's one translation. The other translation, the mother was tied on the yoke of the right side. The womb has been remaining within the water cloud. The calf lowed, look towards the cow having all forms in the three expanses of space. What a crazy difference of translation. Verse 10. The one soul son, having three mothers and three fathers, stood on high, none ever overweary him. The gods on the summit of the sky take counsel, respecting him in language, all comprehending, but not extending to all. And here it says, the three mothers and three fathers are the three worlds, earth, sky, and heaven, and the three deities presiding over them, Agni, Vayu, and Surya. Let's see the other translation. Bearing the three mothers, the three fathers, one has been standing upright. They do not fatigue him. Behind of that heaven, they utter in a low voice the word that comprehends all. That does not move all. Let's see, one more verse. The 12-spoked wheel of the true sun revolves round the heaven and never tends to decay. Oh, this is the... I mentioned this verse in the Varga chapter. 720 children in pairs, Agni abide in it. All right. Now let's see the other translation, and we'll talk about that verse, because that's a good verse. The wheel of law. So what's it say here? Just the 12-spoked wheel. The wheel of law, with 12 spokes, goes round and round the heaven. Is he getting a wheel of law? Or Reti? Ratasya. Oh, but that's all the way at the end of the other verse. The wheel of law. With 12 spokes goes round and round the heaven. It is not indeed to be decayed. Here stand Agni, the 720 sons in pairs. All right. So this verse gives us a wheel of heaven that the sun is moving within, that's in divisions of 12. With 720 pairs. So, you know, we look at this from the Jyotish perspective as the 12 months, and 720 is which Varga?
60.
The D60, correct. Good job. And often they interpret it as that, you know, if there's 360 days of the year, and it's Aho Ratra, it means days and nights, the days and nights are pair, and there's 360 days and nights, and that would be 720. Which is half correct, but like here they're not, you know, they were very aware of the 365 day year. Like they weren't ignorant of that. And they're in multiple places in the Veda, there's a correlation given numerologically between, you know, making them very aware of, they knew how many tithis were in a year, they knew how many days were in a year, they, you know, like very clear correlations. So an interesting verse. Can we do one more?
Sure.
All beings abide in this five-spoked revolving wheel. So it just told us that there was a 12-spoked wheel, and then the next verse says, all beings abide in the five-spoked revolving wheel. Did they lie to us? What's going on? The heavily loaded axle is never heated. Its eternal compact nave is never worn away.
We'll have to do the next verse to go with that, but let's get the other translation of verse 13. In that wheel having five spokes which rolls on, all beings stand out. Its axle bearing immense load does not get heated. Having its navel, it does not break from the beginning itself. So what's the five-spoked wheel?
The five element.
Good guess. Yeah. So, traditionally, we have the year, and then they did, you know, the original term yuga was 5 years. So there was a unit of 5 years. And then there was six, what do we got? We got 5 years, which do correlate to the five elements, but that's a secondary correlation. And that goes into, we have a 60-year cycle that's divided by five. And so we have this 5 years, 5 years, and there's 12 five-year cycles in a 60-year cycle. So we have a circle of 60, we have a circle of 12, and we have a circle of five. And they just say it together. They don't give us a 60-year cycle here. But, you know, we put together the 60-year cycle, and that 60-year cycle correlates to, you know, the Chinese, the animals, with the elements. So there's it's a 60-year cycle with 12 animals, right? Yeah. And how do we get five?
Sure.
You got to talk into your phone, Maggie, or else you're just lip singing. Ooh, talk slower.
Divided by 60 divided by 12.
Yeah, but why? But why? Why five? And I'm looking at the Chinese right now. So I'm a fire dragon. I think this past year was water dragon.
So it's the element.
Uh-huh. So of that 5 years yuga cycle, each of them has a five elements, and then they're divided by 12. So there's a 60-year cycle. So here we see the roots of that. You know, it's not like explaining it directly, but it's inferred. One verse is saying there's a 12-spoked wheel. The next verse is saying there's a 5-spoked wheel. And both of them are talking about time. And they talk about that axle in the middle, that it's not heated. It means that time is this wheel that keeps turning. And it just never stops. The sun is just going around. It's like, it's a navel that never wears out. And here it states it, all beings abide in the five-spoked revolving wheel. The heavily loaded axle is never heated. Its eternal compact nave is never worn away. So it's like eternal. It's the constant churning of the universe. Never-ending time.
So are there five yugas as well?
There's a yuga. The root term yuga refers to 5 years.
Okay.
And then there's the maha yugas, which a lot of times people just say, oh, yugas, because, you know, nobody's using five-year cycles. Yes. In America. But yuga alone means a five-year cycle.
Okay.
The maha yugas are Kali
there's
yuga,
four.
Dvitya yuga. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, of those yugas.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, is there one more verse that went with that? The ever-fellied, undecaying wheel. So it's a key. They're really talking about this wheel being undecaying. Repeatedly revolves. 10. Unite it on the upper surface. Bear the world. The orb of the sun proceeds. Invest it with water. And in it, all beings deposited. So some people say that 10 is the 10 Indriyas. Some people like to say that it's the 10 planet, the 9 planets in Lagna, you know? Let's see what this translation says. There's a little commentary. In the previous verse, the father had 5 feet and the chariot had 7 wheels and 6 spokes. Here, the wheel has 5 spokes. The beautiful poetic fancy of the chariot not breaking down, even with an immense load not decaying in course of time, may be noted. The person didn't get it.
Anyway, the same translation of that one. The wheel with felly rolls on without decaying. The ten yoked draw it on the upward region. Like the sun's eye, it goes along, shrouded with the space. In it are all beings placed. So we're all placed in time. All of us. Who's not in time?
Shiva.
Even the incarnate Shiva's in time.
Oh, darn.
You know, if you call him Mahakala, then he's time itself. And, you know, some people say only he eats time. Time is eaten by him, but, you know, everything is in time. Right? We're all in time. So it's this undecaying wheel that we're all in. We're all in this churning wheel. So those are the root verses of the Kala Chakra. Chakra meaning a wheel. So the wheel of time is right there in the Vedas. And it gets developed in, you know, all these different things, and it's put on. But we can see that from the earliest times, they were worshipping the wheel of time, the ever-churning time.
Interesting.
Yes, without a doubt.
I like that.
You didn't know that the Kala Chakra was in the Vedas, huh?
No, and I mean the reverence they have for it is pretty
cool. Ah, yes. Volume 2, I did a whole chapter just on that reverence to time. Because it's key, it's we see it right there. We can't do Jyotish without reverence to time. Alright, so, were we going to have, somebody was going to do a reading for us, right?
I was.
That was you, Frank? And then you're next week, Maggie? Is that how we did it, planned it? No, she picks up her phone. Yes. All right. So Frank, give us the data.
Let's see. It's 7/13/1967.
So July 17, you said?
13.
1967?
Yeah.
At what time?
11:33.
A.M.?
Yeah.
Male or female?
Female.
And place?
It is Montebello, California. So Montebello.
And give us a code name for this one. What do they do for a living?
Changing professions, let's put it that way.
All right, everybody got it? So I have 7 Virgo.
Yeah, that's it. And you want me to just kind of write down the list how you have it in the book, or?
Yep.
Alrighty, so let's see, so first thing is Lagna and Lagnesh. So Lagna, we have Virgo with Moon there, so you know, right away we know Moon's going to give some strong effects on the person, so you know, a little more Kapha in the constitution, a little more concern with community, emotional nature, this and that. The Lagna Lord, Mercury,
Moon and Lagna make some well-liked.
like,
yeah, everybody likes those Moon and Lugnus.
She is very nice.
Yeah.
Lugna Lord Mercury has gone to the 10th house, and so that gives, you know, a lot of focus on her work and her place in the world, you know, how she seemed, making her mark in the world, that kind of thing, a little more focused and cool there.
A little more?
What's up?
Would you say a little more? Only a little?
Since it's Mercury, it's, you know, it's, I mean, about the planet and the placement and everything?
Or? Uh-huh. You said a little more focus on her work.
A lot. I mean, Mercury's the Karaka for that house. So,
it's the Karaka for that house, and look, it's there's
it's
nothing
in its own sign.
And nothing in the fourth.
Yeah, nothing in the forest, so there's a strong Argala, a strong pull, and it's with the sun.
Strong Viroda. Strong Viroda.
Yeah.
She's stuck at the office.
It's a big pull. What's up?
I said Viroda, strong Viroda, not Argala. She's stuck at the office.
No, sorry. Yes. Yeah, and so looking at a little closer at the placements with Mercury, especially, being in own house, it's comfortable, considered awake and all that. It is retrograde, so, you know, it's going to be a little harder to manifest some of that or what she might want out of it. She might have to work a little harder.
Stubborn though. She will work harder.
Yeah. What else? It's slightly combust, so it's, you know, it's just within that kind of 8-degree range, so might be some, you know, slight anger there, some slight disturbance. There's no other really malefic aspects though, so not too heavy.
Yeah.
It's ashamed because of that, so there's some shame involving herself and the Lugna Lord. It's also Suns or Karaka, and with the Lugna Lord, so that gets even more.
Mercury shame is being socially, like, each planet has a different type of shame. You know, when we like look at the shame, and so Mercury is this, you know, if you think about it, the student. What's the student expect it to be? And it's that kind of shame. Shame that they're not studying enough. Shame that they're not smart enough. Shame that they're not, you know what I mean? Like these kind of like mercurial shame.
Not intelligent enough, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Not doing the right thing, yeah. Yeah, and that was her one thing too when she came to the reading, was like, you know, just her concerns was mainly, you know, work. And, you know, she wasn't sure, which we'll get to in a bit, but she wasn't quite sure if, you know, she was doing the right thing, you know, if there was something more she could be doing with her life, if, you know, she felt inadequate about it, so.
There you go. So it's coming less student-like and more work-like shame from Mercury. I guess because of the 10th house involvement. So, but like this, you see how we can take, it's not just shame, but it's like we can get real specific with the shame. Like any or anger, you know, whenever like all these Avastas, we can get like, you know, the planet involved and its position, everything, we can like play into that. But sounds good, mm-hmm. Frank.
Sun there, I'll just go down the planets now.
Yeah, and so just one of the key things, we just want to sit there and say, like, this woman's career area is really important to her. You know, so you know that before she's even came. You just said she focuses a lot on career, but, like, you know, it's gone to the 10th house, so we know that career is an important thing. It's the Karaka there, it's like, you know, it's completely Virodha, and you know, it's Lugna Lord in the 10th as Mercury. She's like, career is a real important thing of this woman's life.
She, like, values herself based upon that.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that before she even comes in. So yeah, so just knowing that, if she said, oh, there's been some hard things at work and I'm debating whether to quit or not, like, you know, should she quit or not? No, you know, yeah, exactly. So you know, we can start answering questions just on this knowledge here of how important work is to her.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
She's going through a big shift, so it's a little too late on that front, but it works in the dashas. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Sun's not as well placed there. I mean, it's not horrible, but it's in a neutral house, and so it's with the Lord, so it's got a little more enemy status going on. It's the 12th Lord in the 10th house, so there might be some losses there in work or some, you know, just harder dealings coming because of the sun. Some issues with father surrounding that.
What would be beneficial things of 12th Lord and of sun in the 10th?
Of 12th Lord in the 10th or sun in the 10th?
12th Lord as sun in the 10th.
12th Lord as sun in the 10th.
Sun is medicine.
Okay.
12th.
Sun is medicine?
Sun is medicine, like the practice of medicine.
Huh.
Health and healing. 12th house?
Just because it's Karka for Lagna and that kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be a good combination, though, with the 12th Lord Sun going there?
No, I'm asking you, what would that indicate? And I gave you a little hint. Twelfth house is hospitals. Sun is 12th Lord, and this could be work with hospitals, work with healing, people going in for operations and stuff. 12th house is also paying your taxes, and sun is government, so it could be IRS work. You know what I mean? More like this is what I was looking for.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
So a beneficial side, you know, because it's like, yeah, hard things, but it's hard if she's not doing the right thing. If she's doing the right thing, she's working on taking people, being the government's hand to take money from somebody, you know? It's...
Yeah. I mean, she was, her main job before this was working with, like, finances and other, like, big Hollywood stars and their money and, like, financial advising, that kind of thing, so...
Mm-hmm.
Venus there, yeah, maybe.
So we could say she was probably helping them hide their money.
Possibly. You didn't tell me that, but...
12th Lord, you know?
Yeah, secrets.
All right.
And then, so... The moon... be the next one to look at. It's since it's prominent on the Lagna. It's a great friend there, so it's pretty decently well placed. You know, gives it a decently, you know, seems like a balanced emotional nature on some level. It does have that Saturn aspect. Which might come up, which might be a little harsh on the emotions, maybe some depression or loneliness because of that. It's ruling the 11th house of games, of friendship, all that. So there's still, you know, that connection. I see the 11th's fairly connected with work, so there's still a lot more focus there on the head, on the mind with that, since that's so direct on the head. And then Venus is in the 12th. It rules the second house and as well as the ninth house. So coming to the house of loss, you know, and especially with those, you know, malefics there, definitely in the second, could bring some financial issues, you know, loss of income, perhaps some issues with the father. It's in a neutral dignity, so it's not, you know, totally harm there. And I think, you know, I think I've heard benefics in the 12th can be somewhat positive. It can bring up the 12th, even though Venus itself can get harmed. And then this is the one planet that seems to stick out more than a lot of the others, but I'll get to that later. But just look, going down the list, Rahu, sixth lord in the eighth, so perhaps some Viparita action going on. Not 100% on reading that, but you know, there's some loss of enemies or opposition on some level with that. Only Mars has a direct seventh aspect on it. There's no benefics really helping it out, except for Venus by Rashi Drishti. So once again, that might give some of that kind of, I don't know, because when I think of Hollywood stars and that, you know, the eighth house can have to do with loans and debts and kind of, you know, that hidden nature, Venus, Rahu kind of people, especially if it's Rashi Drishti with the resources. But yeah, it's not ideal, but it's, you know, it's not totally sticking out as far as the planet goes. And then going up to the second house, we got Mars. It's in a neutral sign. The ruler's close, so it's friend dignity. It's not totally bad. Of course, Mars, the Mars K2 is a curse there, which was really the first thing my eye got drawn to when I looked at this chart. Then K2 is, once again, maybe we could consider it neutral. I know there's different dignities here.
Yeah.
Once again, Venus is close by, the ruler's close by. So not totally horrible, but still that second house definitely getting knocked up.
Okay, go.
And there's no...
Jump into conjunctions right now.
What's up?
Jump into conjunctions.
Going to conjunctions, okay. Right when I saw it, because I was trying to see where the things led to, but with that second eighth house, that's that, was it Kima Druma Yoga, where the person has the poverty combination?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, money is really hard to hold on to, coming in and out. And, you know, especially since it's the second house, you know, they ideally wouldn't want to put money in the bank, hold on to it there. She might be better suited for something else, that kind of thing.
She is suited for something better else, but we'll get to that in a minute.
What? Yeah. What else? The other major conjunctions was that Sun Mercury there.
65.
Which, isn't that partially, I forgot if it was supposed to be in the Lagna, but had some of that Pandita.
It's Pandita.
Yoga.
It's Pandita. In Virgo, Gemini, or Leo, it's Pandita.
Yeah. Which she'll get into with her second career choice, which I think that kind of might make some sense there. But, those are the two major conjunctions.
What's the second career choice?
What's up?
What's the second career choice?
She's going into library sciences.
from financial investment of Hollywood people to library sciences? My goodness.
Yeah, She's really interested in the computer side of it, though. So she likes, you know, technological end of it, which you can kind of see it in the D10, I think. But we got to adjust the time a little, which we'll look at when we look at the D9 and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so with those conjunctions too, you know, not only was I feeling the monetary problems, but also familial issues coming up. You know, something with the family I was just getting a hit on. And it seemed especially tricky with the father, or trickier possibly stemming from that, just because ninth lord into 12th, and, you know, son's okay, but it's not, you know, it's a little harm, but the mother looks really good here, which was interesting. Just because moon's well, you know, Jupiter's exalted, and Jupiter also lords the fourth house, you know. So if she's looking for something else to invest in, I was telling her real estate
exactly.
might be a better place exactly. to put her money.
Someone like this, it's okay if, like, she's got multiple debts and loans and all this kind of stuff, you know? Like, for her, she probably will always be in debt. But that's fine. Let her have five houses. She actually needs money for something. She sells one of the houses, gets the money, you know, so she can keep her money in real estate.
Yeah. I kind of mentioned that, but then she... Yeah. When I was looking at the Shahs, and then she just entered a new one a few years ago, and she sold her house and had a bunch of money and then moved up to the Bay Area and... you know, took out, you know, and started squandering all the money, started disappearing. She took out loans to go to school, and now it's, like, getting really hard. And I was like, no. it seemed, like, perfect for what this chart was suggesting.
Yeah. She shouldn't have sold that house.
Yeah.
Should have rented it.
Yeah, and then she'd been, like, renting, and, like, she doesn't like it, and she wants to get back in, but, you know, Bay Area is, like,
yeah.
Good luck. So, we'll see. Those were the major kind of conjunctions I picked up on.
Great. Now, look at the moon's nakshatra and the moon in general.
So, it's in Hasta, which, I don't know, I think in your book you mentioned kind of more of a, you know, it can get someone into kind of subtle realities, or, I mean, I know it's good for, like, palmistry and astrology and those kind of things. So, you know, she does have quite a spiritual nature about her.
But let's just pretend she was not spiritual at all. So how's Hasta? Okay. How's Hasta going to show up?
I always see Hasta kind of a handy person, handyman. You know, like they can figure things out. They can, you know, they get their head in a lot of things. Especially being in Virgo too. There's, you know, that just getting away from the moon, the nakshatra necessarily, but still there's concern for purity, or issues with purity.
The key
kind of thing.
The key word I like to use is insight.
Insight,
you know, people that they're looking ahead, they're looking into things, or they're trying to understand the depths and the meaning of something. So, you know, before she was a financial investor for helping, you know what I mean? She was giving people insight into their money and how to work with it. So if she's going into this library science, how's she going to use this insight? You know, this ability to plan and dig into and research and understand a deeper meaning. Because if she's just labeling things, she will not be happy.
Yeah. And...
And...
setting up some, yeah,
Neither of her jobs. Neither of her jobs had anything to do with hands.
No.
But, you know, I mean, the previous one was all about insight and perspective and perspective per, what do you call it when you're investing?
Speculation.
You know what I mean? There was speculation there. I'm not quite sure how speculation fits into this new library science thing, but, you know, I mean, you said she's into the computer thing, but what else? There has to be something more there.
She's not sure. She's just been doing it. She doesn't know where she wants to take it exactly. So, you know, she's still, you know, I think she wants to do something on, like, the software end. And, you know, we brought up working from home at one point. You know, she wants to somehow program things and not sure how to do that, but...
Okay.
I didn't get too much in depth into the, you know, different fields with her, but...
Anything else that we can understand? And you know, the reason I just bring this up is, you know, we got to get, like, how she sees the world. Like, is this profession going to satisfy her? You know, if she's going into it trying to discover or create something new, okay, that works. You know, that's digging into some insightful way of approaching, you know, books and information, maybe.
Yeah, and I think that's what excites her is, create, because that's a newer aspect to library sciences and, you know, information and getting access to people, so. And I think part of it, too, might have been a practical aim, where, you know, she had just dissatisfaction with the whole money thing, because it just wasn't, you know, she didn't care about it so much, and so I think, you know, maybe it was some kind of compromise, since it is, you know, a social kind of helping profession and all that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
All right, keep going. Atmakara Ka Naruta Lagna.
Atmakara Ka is sun. So there's usually sun, there's some issues or concern around ego or wanting a position of power, authority or recognition in her position, which, once again, I don't know how library science is. You know, that seems more of a, it's a servant, you know, it's more of a, Saturn comes up in the deep analytical, which makes some sense, but it's more of a service profession, which, you know, this with the sun there and Mercury's a Machakarka, and so there's that advising kind of role, maybe. And
that's
the exalted Jupiter.
Machakarka in the 10th house is a Raj Sambandha Yoga. It shows she's an advisor to important people, and the sun shows she wants to be important. The sun is Atmakarka, she wants to be an important person.
But I found it was interesting, those planets are directly across from Haruta Lagna, which is in the 4th house. Mm-hmm. So, you know, perhaps it's giving more focus on important people and advice, you know, like her job with movie stars and celebrities, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it might make more sense in that context. And, you know, with the library sciences, since it's 7th from Ruta Lagna, you know, if the Pandita Yoga action getting kicked up, then it's serving other people who are really intelligent, not, you know, that kind of thing. I was trying to see how it works with it, but, you know.
Yeah.
If those were in her Ruta Lagna, it might be different, but, you know.
You know, it's the stronger, the 1st or 7th, they're fully influencing her Ruta. And that's a Digbala sun.
Yeah.
Digbala means it's going to have a strong influence in her profession.
Yeah, and she's coming up on, because, you know, she's kind of like been, oh, I don't know where it's going to go, and she is coming up. She's going to turn 50 very soon, so I figure that's going to really kick the sun up a notch and, you know, maybe give her an idea of where she wants to go with it. There was a couple overlapping things like that where, you know, she seemed to be headed in the right direction, even if I wasn't seeing it. both of those, you know, Rudolevna, Makarka, the whole axis, they all seem pretty well placed. You know, Lord of Rudolevna is exalted, so,
great.
It's a, you know, very good image, around people, beneficial planet, you know, able to connect with others, that kind of thing.
She's well known. She's known for what she does.
Uh-huh.
Anything else from Aruda?
She's got the K2 Mars there in the... I mean, we could look at Argola from it. I don't know how long we want to go with this, but... but, I don't know, it seemed pretty positive overall.
Okay. Atmakarika is conjunct Rahu in the Navamsha. How sure of herself do you think she is?
Could be a little wavering, but Rahu's exalted there too, so.
True. Does that help the sun though? How confident was she in herself?
She's at an interesting stage in her life, so, which gets, I think, a little more into the dasha, and when I was looking at Argala from it, you could tell exactly what she was saying, like, she's on this,
I'll let you get there, let's keep going then.
Okay.
Number seven.
The Panchanga Lords, or...?
Number seven is Curses and Blessings.
Oh, curses. So I already kind of mentioned, but that second house cursed big time. And Jupiter exalted, definitely a blessing there. Are we defining blessings as like multiple benefic influences?
Uh huh.
Mahapurusha
Yoga could be considered a blessing as well.
Okay. I'd consider the 10th, there's some blessing going on there.
Totally.
I mean, that's Mahapurusha Yoga, but not fully activated, it seems, but definitely given that strong mercurial nature.
It's not bad.
Oh, yeah, those are the major ones, I think.
All right, no curses. We got this K2, Mars K2, Pisashtya Bhadaka, it's called. You know, we got this anger combination in the second house. But otherwise, there's no curses, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, all the other planets they're pretty decent. You know, they're not getting hit hard, so, you know, it's nice, you know.
Yep, okay. Panchanga Lords.
Panchanga Lords. So Vara Lord is Jupiter, and that's exalted, so, you know, gives a decent Agni, decent
She's vitality. Strong. She's a strong, healthy woman.
Yeah. Duty Lord is Saturn. Saturn, it's got Digbala. It's Saturn. But it's ruled by the exalted Jupiter. It's not horrible, you know. It's not, I mean, Saturn in the seventh isn't the best, but, you know, not a huge air concern. I wouldn't focus on it too much.
It's an enemy, though.
Yeah. True.
So.
There's little issues there, yeah. Or big.
I mean, is she in a happy relationship right now?
No. She was in a relationship that ended, but, you know, she's still close with the person, and, you know, I think she rents from her, you know, like, or even lives with her, you know, something like that. So it's still, like, a very decent relationship.
Uh-huh. But the Lord is an enemy, so we can see that there's going to be a little stuff in the relationship realm to deal with.
Yeah.
And she's almost...
It was one of her secondary concerns where she was like, you know, I'm comfortable being alone, but, you know, it's in the back of her head kind of thing. If, you know, something was there, but wasn't a primary concern, but it was like one of the only other things she brought up. And I thought it was interesting because she didn't want to be in a relationship. Or, well, she wasn't sure if she wanted to be. She's like, should I dedicate my time or shouldn't I? And, you know, she's got that the bandana between the first and seventh here, so.
Mm-hmm. That won't stop a relationship, though. That's just how the person shares their energy. Mm-hmm. There's nothing saying that, you know, we see the seventh house trines from the Vamshas, nice and clean. We got Jupiter and Saturn in trines from, you know, this seventh. Venus is not cursed. 7th Lord is exalted. There's no reason that she would, you know, Venus is not 3rd, 6th, or 12th from Aruta Lagna. There's nothing stopping her from, like, wanting to be in a relationship. It's just that Tithi Lord's got a little, you know, it's Saturn and it's in an enemy sign. So Saturn is not a planet that's out there making extra relationships for a person. And it's weak, so it's causing a little friction in the relationships. But of course she wants a relationship. The thing is, we assume somebody wants a relationship unless something says not. Because we're all human. And humans sleep, they eat, and they make love. It's just, we assume.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was interesting too because she entered a Saturn, you know, Mahadasha, so, you know, Shani might want to be a little more alone. But it's in the seventh.
The thing is, Shani wants to be alone. Does she want to be alone?
Mercury.
You know, Moon there, mm-hmm. Mercury, Lord. You know, there's nothing really saying that she doesn't want to be in a relationship. So Saturn is putting her into the lonely space, making her feel. She's feeling like, you know, what is Saturn? What's the Avasta?
In the enemy sign?
Uh-huh.
What was that? Sad?
Uh-huh. She's sad that she's not in a relationship. And, you know, she said, oh, is it possible? She was saving herself from getting the bad news that she was, like, believing you were going to tell her, oh, there's no relationships for you ever again. And so she was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, she was just preparing herself. Of course she wants to be loved. Moon in Lagna, Mercury a playful person. In this hard Saturn dasha where everybody's disappearing and everything's getting really hard, of course she wants some love in her life. I'm just talking sense with you here, you know, like
yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we gotta know that, you know, and like for her.
I won't believe anybody again.
Say again. What do you say?
I won't believe it.
Well, the thing is, there's believing them, and then there's like, just like, you know, because occasionally, and it doesn't happen that often, but people tell me things, and I'm like, nah, that ain't true. I can see your chart. I know that's not true. Once or twice, I've had somebody tell me they want to be a monk. I look at their chart, I'm like, what are you talking about? You love women. What do you mean you want to be a monk? You can't want, and he said, yeah, I love, but, you know, I want to be a monk. I said, but you see, if you love women, that's not wanting to be a monk. And they're like, you know, it's like, you don't want to like dress like a monk and pretend to be a monk. You either are a monk or you're not a monk. You know, these kind of things. Sometimes what we're doing is not just giving them predictions, but like, we're getting like, there's something called congruence in psychology. It means there's what's going on and then there's what a person believes is going on. Like, you know, think about, and I'll take the most extreme situation, somebody being beaten by their father every day. And they're like, oh, my dad loves me. Oh, my dad's happy that I'm there. It's like, that's great, but he beats you every day. Like, that's not okay. And so you get that congruence, you know, you get them incongruent with what's actually happening. So for her, the congruence is like, hey, you're lonely. And this time Saturn's really active. It's a little harder to get into a relationship. I get it. You're lonely. You know, like, here's some remedies to, like, make a relationship happen. Okay, so go ahead. I'm butting in too much. Panchanga Lords. So we did the Tithi. And I got that from looking at the Tithi. How much did I just get there? You know, the Tithi drew me into that. That I needed to say that to her.
Yeah. But in all you want, too. I don't mind. I might not look that way, but...
All right. So what do we got now? We got Nakshatra.
Nakshatra Lord is the moon. So it's fairly well placed, except for the shiny aspect. Overall, yeah, not bad. It's interesting because she did mention there's some AC going on, so I might pick up some noise where I'm at. I can't shut it off. Just want to completely help. You did mention she's been having some dental stuff going on past few years, so perhaps the shiny aspect is showing up. And it's stuff that wasn't, like, recognized, and then, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be an energetic imbalance, necessarily, but...
She's 50, and she didn't take good care of her teeth, so she's got dental problems.
Okay. End of story.
I won't go. The teeth, I mean... Teeth see from second house, not first.
Yeah.
And both second from Lagna, second from moon. And here it's her mouth is too acidic. So so the acid, the hydrochloric acid's probably eating away. She's got, what do you call that? When it's low, stuff on the outside of your teeth?
Enamel.
The enamel issues, stuff like that. Do you know what kind of issue she has?
I don't know specifically. She just mentioned, you know, stuff was happening and the dentist didn't pick it up and didn't notice it. And then there was all these complications because of it. And, you know, she had to get stuff extracted. And,
yeah,
it's like a big mess. So, and once again, money issues around it. So,
yeah,
second house. So, yeah, overall, though, yeah, I didn't see too much issue with that. With the moon.
What do we got now? We got Karna.
Karna, Lord, is Venus. So Venus is, one of the few planets that seem to be, you know, not in its best place. Neutral, its dignity was... It's unhappy, it's sleeping, so she doesn't quite know what's going on with it. It's got Rahu aspect.
I wouldn't even have thought about it that way. Yeah, good.
That was the one that stuck out as far as the Panchanga Lords was that with all the relationship a little.
Good. And then what do we got? We got Yoga Lord.
Yoga Lord is Saturn. Once again, especially it's Digbala, it's all the stuff we said before, so while it is enemy time.
So it's important to also take into account, unless it's exalted or like in its own sign, that the nature of that planet for that area of life. And so yoga is how we get along with other people. And Rahu and Saturn are just not nice yoga lords. They're just not, they don't help us get along with other people. They're separative planets. And in that vein, Sun is also a separative planet.
So she could, it's interesting because talking with her a little, she's, we didn't get too in-depth, but it seemed like, she did have a hard time connecting, and she liked connecting with groups, but it didn't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
But she's comfortable just, doing her own thing and being alone, basically, she needs to be.
So she's comfortable? Exactly, so she exactly. Great, perfect. So she says. She doesn't have a choice. She's learned to deal with it. Doesn't mean that we need to keep it that way.
Yeah, she doesn't want it. She appreciates community, though, for sure.
All right. So that gave us a little focus there. And what do we got? Dashas.
So Dasha's, I started in the beginning of her life, and she started off in a moon period, I believe. So it seemed like very early life was okay, but then right away around.
So Frank, just for quickness.
Yeah.
We already went over the nakshatra and the nakshatra lord. So both, what was it? It was number, in number 5 we looked at the nakshatra, and in number 8, the previous one, we looked at the nakshatra lord. So that already gave us what that first dasha's like. You know what I mean? So we understand what those first years of her life were, because they're the same. The nakshatra lord and the situation of the nakshatra, it totally tells us how that first stage of life was. So, it's like there's this deep implication. We looked at the nakshatra just to see how she perceives the world now, but we can actually look at that the other direction, and we can look at the nakshatra lord and say, well, this is how the beginning of her life was. Hence, that's why she sees the world like this now. I mean, that's almost more the Western perspective, it's like that she had, moon was in charge of the first stage of her life, so she had a lot of nurturing, and it's a good moon, and she had some secure attachment, and there was a lot of like good caring and togetherness and community in those first few years, and so that nourished her and really gave her a good perspective on life. Hence, she had, and so Western psychology says, oh, there was a good bit of early life, so that's why the person has a good perspective now. We see that, hey, their karma is to have to have a good view. Therefore, because their perspective is to have a good view, they had a good early life.
Yeah. Okay.
But so, you were starting to go into that. You already went into it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Water. So, yeah. Okay. Moon, good times. Mars, not so good times. Yeah, it seemed like something very, it's a very drastic switch there. So, seemed like some kind of catastrophic event may have happened, followed by Rahu, which is on that axis. So, it seemed like there was a lot of ups and downs, those kind of losses there. And I did know going in she used to be an alcoholic. She didn't talk about other things, but
There was other things.
Yeah.
Who's aspecting the Arruda Lugna?
Rahu.
Both Saturn and Rahu.
Oh yeah. Totally.
So, what's the combination for alcoholism?
I thought Shani could give it, but is it Shani and Rahu?
Oh, so you don't know. There's three things that create alcoholism, and the more there are of them, the more likely and the more severe it is. Saturn connected to Lugna, Saturn connected to Moon, Saturn connected to Arruda Lugna. And look, she's got them all. And on top of it, Rahu is aspecting Arruda Lugna. So that Rahu so the Lugna shows physical dependence, the Moon shows emotional dependence, and the Arruda Lugna is giving us social dependence. So we see that with Saturn, she's got all of them. But with Rahu, she's got this social dependence. She needs drugs to, like, get along. And so they're, you know... And if it was only Rahu, it might not be an addiction. You know, so, okay, she occasionally does drugs with her friends, you know? Like, in America, who doesn't? That's reality. But... because there's the alcoholic combination and Rahu joins, then, you know, it's like Saturn brings Rahu in for the party.
Uh-huh.
That all makes sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I thought it was primarily a Saturn thing.
Alcoholism.
But Rahu's all the weird drugs.
Yeah.
I'll ask her. No. But anyway, so I figured those times were a little more rocky, and then she hit Jupiter around 30, so it seemed like that would have been definitely a stable, much more stable period, getting it together, since, you know, a little more well-placed, coming up to Saturn, it just seemed the more like an isolative experience.
How good was her Jupiter period?
By Argola, you know, like, there's more houses in the 12, so there might have been, you know, That work life was getting some transition, getting some hiccups, not the best. Moon was in the third from it, so she had to kind of play the nice girl, go along with the flow.
She was the nice girl.
Yeah. There's that in the fourth. There was.
When did she stop drinking?
I don't remember the exact year. This was a few weeks ago, so all the details are a little fuzzy. But
which did before? Yeah.
What's up?
Go ahead.
I think it was towards the end of Rahu is when she started getting out of it. So. Uh-huh.
So Jupiter.
Yeah, all the things I laid out for Dasha, she was agreeing with as far as, you know, the general themes.
Yeah. So Jupiter cleaned her up.
Yeah, big time.
Regularly does. The lucky thing is when we see somebody in Rahu with all these addictions, we can often give them a lot of hope that Jupiter's coming. Today I had a woman, her son, he's in jail right now for, I don't know, he was drunk and high on meth and somehow ended up in the county jail. And
that's what
happens. And you know, he's got 8 more years of Rahu left. And he's got Hamsa Mahapurusha Yoga in the 4th house. So, you know, when Jupiter comes, he's going to clean up his act. And, I mean, he's a great guy, like, in his heart. But Rahu's putting him through it. So, you know, I told her, I said, hey, you know, like, it's going to be hard. But, you know, as long as he holds on the next few years, I see him cleaning up in about 8 years.
How'd she take that?
Well, she was just like, 8 years. I don't know. She's
seems like a while.
She had three sons and a daughter. Does that, who did their panchanga? I didn't mention that in the panchanga chapter, did I? I was looking for it today in my book and I didn't see it. I didn't talk about that, right?
I just did it, I don't recall.
So
that.
So there's one of the panchanga doshas, and it's in the dosha section, is if you have three sons, you're supposed to stop. Don't have another kid. Or if you have three daughters, stop, don't have another kid. If you have four sons, you're okay. If you have three sons and a daughter, you're screwed. Or three daughters and a son, you're screwed. You know, when there's three the same and it switches, that next one is the black sheep that destroys the family. Now, you don't say that out loud to somebody, but she literally had, you know, after her daughter was born, her sons just started getting in the trouble, and the one that was in jail was the oldest, and he was 31. The 27-year-old had testicular cancer, just had his, you know, testicles removed. And there's still cancer there. Now it spread into his liver. The younger brother is 24 or something like that, and he's suffering from leukemia. The mother's homeless right now. And the daughter, she's away in college working on some big research thing. She's good. She's fine. She calls all them stupid. Ah, y'all stupid. You know, like, why are you guys living like this? She doesn't realize she's the one. It's her karma. You know, she... Yeah, but... So I was going on.
What's the logic behind that?
I couldn't tell you that one.
Okay.
I wish I knew. I wish I knew for her today, but I gave her the remedy for it, but which Parashara gives, and so I was going with that because so Jupiter, you know, her eldest son. So you know, I told her 8 more years. I was just part of all the other bad news she was dealing with. But any which way, let's focus. All right, so she entered Jupiter, cleaned up her act, which, you know, a strong Jupiter will do that. If a person's in big addictions and Jupiter comes, Jupiter might, you know, if it's a Nietzsche Jupiter in the 8th house, it's not going to be able to clean up the act.
Yeah.
If there's major, major curses, Jupiter might not be able to clean up the act. Major curses show trauma. If the moon is completely weak and messed up, Jupiter might not be able to clean up the person. But any which way, so she cleaned up in Jupiter, and now she's in Saturn.
Yeah, and so Saturn just seems like it'd be more of a isolated kind of period. You know, a little more, you know, retreating into herself kind of thing. A little more sadness going around, but it's really well supported though by Argala. So there's, you know, didn't seem like a lot to be overly concerned about.
Very well supported by Argala, huh?
Yeah. And but one of the big things that I thought was interesting, because she's you know, really was really concerned about the whole, you know, am I going down the right path? Is this library thing going to work out? Da da da. Which I'm still on the fence about too. But how she, you know, how she was approaching it as far as decision making, I thought was interesting, and I was looking at the fifth and ninth, and she was very much in this mindset of, you know how people get into it, like, well, I just pray for guidance, you know, I let the universe, I open up to the universe, and, you know, it shows me,
fifth house with more planets than the ninth, she opens up to the universe and then listens to her own advice.
Yeah. But she's listening to it. It seemed, you know, with that there, I mean, I've got nothing on a Jupiter exalted, but... So, you know, it seems positive.
All right. And so, quick look at Navamsha. And if you want...
Yeah, quick look. So, the given time was 11:33.
Which gives us, you know, somebody was paying attention, right? Unless they were just trying to make it look pretty. I've seen situations where people, like, they change the time 5-6 minutes, like 11:33. Oh, that's so nice. Let's not give it to her 11:35. Let's do 11:33. You know, so like, for reals.
I'm not totally 100%, but originally I thought this might have been the right one, just because she's homosexual, so, mm-hmm. And I know when there's, you know, some connection with that seven, so there's that Mercury connection with the seventh, and I know you need a Saturn, some Saturn connection.
And we have a 10th house aspect.
Yeah, exactly. 10th house, that's what it was on there. So I was like, okay, that's somewhat convincing. But then when I was going through the reading with her and I brought up, like, early childhood and something bad happening, I guess she was raped when she was young, around that age, around four, when she was four. So it seemed like right before the Mars Disha happened. And so after we talked about last class, if you switch it forward a few minutes, he has the whole Rahu, you know, Mercury sign and trines to the seven. So let me see. You gotta go to 11:45, which is good, you know. What's that, 14 minutes ahead.
That's a pretty big jump.
Yeah. But, and I was caught just because with this time, it's got Mercury there in Digbala, as well as the K2 and the 9th, and she's getting into the whole computer reality mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
You know, and she's doing a formal university training, so I was like, I was kind of drawn to this one a little more.
I don't know if this would make her gay, though.
It wouldn't make her gay? Yeah. Unless she's confused about that.
Okay. Does she have any power dynamics in hers? You didn't ask about the sexuality.
Yeah, I didn't get into her sexuality. Yeah.
Yeah, that Sun Rahu in the third, that gives, like, tie him up and domination kind of stuff.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
Well, you know, you can ask them. If they're in, it's, yeah. The big thing is, you know, that Sun Rahu there, that's somebody who likes to be tied up and likes to tie up and all this power domination stuff, Sun Rahu, in the third. So it's a yes or a no. You know what I mean? Like, we gotta ask about those yogas. It's hard to ask about an empty house.
Yeah.
But the moon is in trines. So does she have a very active sex life?
Does she?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You didn't ask her.
I didn't ask her.
People don't jump out and just share those things.
Yeah, I know.
She doesn't say.
She's very intent on, like, you know, spiritual practices and this kind of thing right now, and kind of following that. But
there are spiritual people that have sexual addictions. I mean, it's just because somebody's spirit. You can have Buddhist lamas who, you know, masturbate 5 times a day. It's. I mean, what the Rashi shows and what the seventh house shows, they don't have to be the same. You know, there's.
You're saying the sexual addiction is if it's the Pisces lagna?
Pisces, I wouldn't call it an addiction. I'd just call it a hyper sex drive. Exalted Moon in the third gives a very strong.
Is it the nature of it that won't tame it down at all?
Nah, tone it down. It just makes her extra good at it.
Okay.
It's very moon, you know? Lots of moon. Yeah.
We need to do a workshop on sexuality.
Nope.
Anyway. I'm a little caught between the two, honestly.
Okay. And let's see, how it differentiates the D10. So, if we change the lagna, then yes, Mercury goes into the first. But here we have, you know, here it might be Pisces in the first, but we have Mars and Jupiter in the ninth, and Venus in the fifth. And if we go over to the D10, it's the choice between nothing in the seventh and K2 in the sixth, right?
I think that's mine.
Oh, that's you? Okay. So, I just muted somebody and I don't know how to unmute them. Whoever's 530-292-3525, I muted you because I was testing the sound and I can't unmute it. But just go ahead. We'll take the feedback, Frank, if that's you, until we're finished.
Okay, I'll try to pop it in and out. But
and whoever's 3525, just help me unmute. I don't know. I'm sure there's a button to push. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay, so if we take it back, then yeah, there's this, if in D10 we take the time back to the original K2s in the 7th, Mercury's in the 6th, so it seemed like there was a little tug of war there between...
I wouldn't call it a tug of war. K2 in the 7th, for some period she was self-employed doing K2 type of work. For another period of time, she's working for someone else doing Mercury kind of work. You know,
and I saw that brought up since the Lagna Lord went to the 4th, I asked her about working from home and if, you know, something she wanted to do, and she was totally into it, especially with, like, the library sciences kind of thing. She was really, yeah, wanting, she's like, oh, that'd be great, like, I'd love to just do that and then, you know, do my practices and get on with it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that seemed like K2, computer kind of work, you know, maybe more self-employed, working from home kind of reality. And especially since she just went into Saturn Dasha, maybe that's bringing that, you know, it's a shiny house, whereas before she was just in Jupiter, and, you know, that was the 6th house, more service, so, I mean, that was lining up pretty well, I thought, and then if we kick it forward to the next one, we've got Jupiter in the ascendant. No planets in the 7th, and so it's all, you know, yeah, more K2 6th house service work there.
Yeah, and so now when she did the financial advising for Hollywood, What, did she work for a firm or was she self-employed?
I'm pretty sure she worked for a firm, so I don't think she was. I don't think she was self-employed. So, and there's a part of Arcana there with the sun. So, I think during that whole period, she was, you know, there's a switch. So she realized she didn't want to be doing it. Sun's coming up to the Lugna, you know, that kind of thing. So, once again, a little bit of a, you know, both of them make some sense.
Good arguments, though. Very good arguments. Yeah.
And two with this, I don't know. I mean, if Tenth is the company she's working for, but then again, yeah, that was a question I haven't quite answered: is how to differentiate between different companies. You know, so going from a financial firm to a library will show a very different kind of Tenth House reality.
Totally. And so, you know, then we start bringing in aspects and things of that nature. And which planets are aspecting and all that kind of stuff. And so with this, with the Rahu Lugna, it's just Aries, you know, with a direct aspect of the moon. And do we have anything else aspecting Rashi? No. And so we go Graha after that. And so it's Jupiter's aspecting, Mars and Venus are aspecting, right? Where then if we go and we move to the next sign with Jupiter in there, then we have Saturn in the 10th, and then if that's aspected by Venus and Mars, as well as Rahu and Moon and Ketu, so all kinds of different companies you'd be, you know, different dashas would be bringing about. But that root, that major one, would be that Saturn. That makes a big difference whether she was self-employed or working for a firm when she was in Hollywood. If she was working for a firm, I can accept your Jupiter and Lugna there. If she was
I'm pretty sure it was a firm though. Like I said, it was a few weeks ago, but I'm pretty sure it was a firm.
Yeah. All right, and then what do we got here? We got Navamsha trines, and assess the issues, the native, begin telling the native the meaning and give remedies. All right, so now give us the general interpretation that you gave her. You know, what was your advice? How did she respond? And what did that look like? How did everything go?
You know, a lot of it we've already talked about, but I just picked up the major themes I picked up was the issue of money, finances, that kind of thing. And I kind of started off with that and discussing that, and she confirmed it that, yeah, you know, she's always had it, but it comes and goes, and she can't hold on to it whatsoever. And it seems to be a major blockage, too, especially where she's at now.
What about her speech?
Her speech is very gentle and soft.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, if she needs to, but she can get it. In the context that I know her as, it's not, you know, but, it, you know, I hang around, you know, it's meditation stuff that I know her through, so I could see her getting forceful if she needed to, but that, you know, that side.
And I didn't say forceful, because we're not talking about force. We're just talking about her tongue. You can have somebody who's very unforceful who says, "You bloody da 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 da, you, I can't believe you, this and that, and every bad name in the book." Doesn't mean they're being forceful. You got the, you know, let's differentiate that second and the third. That's an anger yoga. That's a combination that shows that she can say some mean things. She gets angry, the mean things that come out of her mouth will burn the hair off the back of your neck.
Be careful.
What about the idea of second for Mercury being like, you know, isn't that kind of the manifestation of speech too, though?
That also. So the thing is, in general, she's relatively sweet, but not when she gets angry.
That's the root of it, kind of?
They're both. We take both into account.
Okay.
She's wise with her use of words. That's the Jupiter second from Mercury. She's wise with her use of words. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is when she gets angry, not only is she wise with her use of words, but she's that much better at being angry. She knows exactly what to say to just, like, burn you bad. You got how those two are interacting?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And how I'm differentiating them, you know?
Uh-huh.
Wise use of words doesn't mean they're being used nicely. But this anger, this hot tongue, and I'll call it a hot tongue, totally makes sense, right? That K2 Mars there,
yeah.
Hot tongue?
Yeah, totally.
Is the root of her biggest financial things. If you ask her about, like, times she's gotten angry and stuff like that, you know, like, she's lost deals. She's lost a lot of good opportunities from the way she talks.
Okay.
Lost business partners. Lost, you know, think, what does a hot tongue destroy? Second house is, you know, it's family, but, like, we could also call it community. If you think about ancient India, your family, you know, you're living in a house with aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, grandmom, grandpop, great-grandmom. Next door is some cousins and nephews. And, you know, like, I mean, the family is the community. But, like, how many cousins and aunts and uncles are you living with, Frank?
Zero.
So your community isn't family. Your community is a little bit more people that are into yoga, people that are into, like, educational, you know, the things that you're into.
Yeah.
So it's we could call it the community house as well as family. And on that level, she burns a lot of her friends just from that use of her tongue. So how do we remedy that?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I was thinking, taking, since the Karakas are half decent, I was thinking about taking the Lord Venus. Also because, you know, it's, just to help out that 12th a bit, especially with the sun going to the 10th and all that, it might have some residuals. You know, just some connection to the work, but my main idea of remedy was definitely the Venus.
Ninth Lord and the 12th,
which would pretend. Well, and I'm, you know, I'm not good on the whole remedy thing. Still, a little bit of a at least getting specific remedies. But, you know, if it was some type of Lakshmi practice or something. Yeah. If you're talking 12 can also be like, yeah, was it donation or fasting as well?
I would recommend Vishnu mantra, and in volume 2 in the Saturn chapter, there's the Om Vishnave Namah, and use the bija for the second house.
Which chapter?
In the Saturn remedy chapter, and I know it's Saturn remedy, but it's also that Saturn remedy for the Vishnu mantras is also the remedy for Mars K2. So the bija for the second house, Om Vishnave Namah. Om bija for the second house, Vishnave Namah.
And that's because it's
Mars K2.
Mars K2, okay.
Yeah, we gotta shanti that.
Yeah.
We need to shanti that fire. And I'd be slightly hesitant with Venus, being that she's gone to the 12th, you know?
Yeah, that was my only hang-up. I wasn't sure. I was like, It's in the 12th, so I wasn't... And that's one of my questions on remedies is, yeah, I mean, when... Because I know there are some warnings, you know, this planet's gone to the 8th, be careful. So, I mean, how can you tell if it's, you know, what's going to crop up if the planet's in a new shadow like that?
So what's our three factors?
The sign, the Lord, the Karaka.
The sign, the Lord, and the Bhava Karaka. So
yeah.
Here... You know, the planet's in that, the sign, the Lord. Yeah, and so when we say the sign, we mean the planet's in the sign.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so the remedy for those planets in the sign is the Vishnu mantra. So that's taking care of the planets in there. If you didn't know that, then I would have said go with the Bhava Karaka. The Lord is Venus in the 12th, but the Bhava Karaka is Jupiter exalted in the 11th.
Yeah, I thought of that, but I was figuring, well, he's Jupiter exalted, like...
Doesn't matter.
It's pretty good as it is, so just bump it up even more.
We'll bump it up even more, just to shanti that tongue.
Okay.
When you do the curses chapter in volume 2, it talks a lot, the whole first section is all about Jupiter and Guru and what we need to do with Jupiter to avoid... either being cursed or getting us ourselves into a curse for the next life, you know? So Jupiter's a key factor for that. So it'll be, Jupiter will be great for that. And that's the main remedy that needs to be given there. And then we need just a little something for relationship. Right? Which you believed her. You believed her that she was happy being alone.
No, not happy, you know.
That she was okay. She was okay being alone.
I mean, one of the things we discussed was, especially with, like, the Saturn-Moon combo, was, like, there's, you know, I brought it up. There's some loneliness there. There's some distance that, you know, it's not so easy. And,
so
She agreed, and she recognized it as, you know, I don't know, she was saying, you know, that, yeah, she'd always felt, like, kind of disconnected from things all her life, but she just said, like, recently, in the past few years, like, I don't know, it's come together, and, you know, she's getting into a lot of the Indian stuff and giving her a lot of answers, and she just felt like, you know, she got all, like, karmic on me, and... I could tell she was talking from the Saturn Moon thing about it, and I was like, God, I didn't say you're full of it, but...
All right, so what are we going to do? So we took care of that K2 Mars. Now what to do about relationship?
Yeah, and that was another reason why I was thinking about Venus as kind of a catch-all remedy for both that house and, you know... relationship, Karaka, da-da-da, but...
you could also say Jupiter. Jupiter's the lord of that
house. You
could
say, yeah, Jupiter as well.
Yeah, Jupiter could be the remedy for both of them as well as Venus.
Yeah, Karaka for that house as well, too. And it's already kicking.
Let's see. Let's get her to do a Lakshmi mantra for 40 days, see what happens. Then we'll get her to do a Jupiter mantra for 40 days and see what's happening. We'll place a bet. What do you say? We'll place a bet. We'll see which one gives a better result. which 40-day sadhana has a partner at the end of it?
There's some noise coming, so I muted, but...
Yeah.
No, I don't want to mess with her like that.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so... Yeah, you could use Venus in this case because the 12th house won't hurt, but I would lean towards Jupiter. I would either utilize Jupiter because Jupiter is both the Lord and it has an aspect on the house, which makes it extra good for relationship. And, you know, it's working with both the tithi, you know, the relationship area, as well as increasing the yoga issues that she has. Right? So if we did use Jupiter, we could do that, or we could just do the bija for the seventh house, which is stream. just get her to stream. Seventh house Bija to help mitigate the negativity of Saturn. So we got two different approaches. And if we utilize your Venus concept, we have 2.5. Yeah. And we could consider Shreem meditation a Venus remedy. You know, Shreem activates Venus, but it's particularly seventh house Bija. All right. So, was she happy with your little reading?
Yeah. I mean, most everything we talked about, you know, she concurred with most of the stuff I was speaking to. So, and you know, yeah, a lot of it was kind of confirming what she was going through on a lot of levels. So, and yeah, I told her, I'm like, I'm not positive on this remedy. I'm thinking, you know, I was hesitating on moving in that direction, but I said I'd get back to her. She was appreciative.
All right, any questions for me on this chart?
No, nothing major. I think we, yeah.
Perfect. What do you guys think? Did he pass?
Pretty good to me.
Good job, Frank. What are you going to do your 10 charts on?
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, I keep going in and out the mic because of the noise here. Yeah. But
what are you going to...
I'm collecting charts of my students, so I'm looking at educational issues, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, high school students, teenagers, da da da. So.
Perfect. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we talked a little bit.
That'll be fun. I look forward to it. All right, and so next week, we have maybe Maggie giving one. And so we have, let's see, let's organize. We'll go for like, let's see, it's almost 8 right now. We'll go to 8:30. Sound good? And I don't think we're going to be able to get everybody in there. Whoever is 530-292-3525, I muted you and I don't know how to unmute you.
Is that Amrita?
If that's you, Amrita... you might have to hang up and call back because I can't figure out how to fix that. But so who are 608? Is that Perul? Oh, that's Maggie. And then our 707 is Yama. And then we got you, Justin. I think I'm gonna skip you this week.
That's okay.
Okay. We did lots with Panchanga last week, right?
Yep.
And you're going to do Dasha's next week? Is that what are you on?
No, I'm on Argala.
Argala. Argala.
No, we already went
You already
over.
Did Argala.
Yeah, but I'm just now, like, reading the video.
Okay. So it's perfect that we skip you.
Yes.
Good. And where are you at, Yama?
I'm doing the Panchanga chapter.
Oh, perfect. What do you... Oh, you're liking the Panchanga, Ashley told me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm really doing is trying to figure out dates for my pujas. I need 2 pujas, and I wanted to go over that with you to make sure I'm doing it correctly, which is all... It's the Panchanga.
All right. Let's all look at Yama's chart real fast. Everybody have it? March 14th, 1954, 7:03 p.m., Indianapolis, Indiana, for Virgo. All right, so what's our Panchanga doshas, Yama?
Yeah, what are they?
Uh-huh.
What do you want me to do? You don't want me to go over the dates of the pujas with you right now.
Not the dates of the puja. It's best just to do that with Viru himself. Tell him.
I know, but it's not happening. He doesn't respond. He's not responding.
Yeah, that's because it's a big. It's the big Shiva puja season.
I'm the one that's finding it, and I want to make sure they're good. That's what. Uh-huh. And I did it through the Kala Chakra remedies.
Oh, for that kind of puja, Kala Chakra is for weekly puja. So
well, it talked about the Sankranti. It talked about anyway. I was just trying to.
But listen, the rule. So the Kala Chakra, we use the Kala Chakra for a weekly puja, not for a one-time puja. For the one-time puja, we just have to make sure that the planet or thing we're remedying is healthy at the time that we do the remedy.
You mean the transit?
So for example, if you're going to do a Sankranti puja, you want to make sure, you know, just the general, that it's a good nakshatra, good tithi, good day. You know, you want to do it on a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like this. You don't want to do it on a Tuesday or Saturday. You want to make sure that it's a, you know, a tithi that's like a happy tithi, like avoid Ardra or, you know, Ashlesha. Yeah.
Are you talking about
nakshatras? Yep. Avoid Ardra and Ashlesha. And then tithi, just make sure it's a, you know, a happy tithi. You know, make sure that it's not a new moon or close to new moon. And so there we're good. That, yeah.
It said that for sun, it would be good to do Venus. It would be Shukla Chaturdasi.
But that's called.
I found good transit.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's a day that has nice transit.
Yeah.
Although it is the 14th lunar day, but it is a Friday.
It's 14th. Shukla or Krishna.
Shukla.
That's fine.
Okay, and then for the Vishvakarna.
Just do the one puja. Wait 1 year and do the Vishvakarna next
really?
Year.
Really? Yeah, but it's a big obstacle. Okay.
I know.
Okay, okay.
And the obstacle
okay,
is it
I'm
gives you.
I mean, I asked him and he didn't respond.
Yep.
So I'm glad you're telling me.
Yep. So the Vishvakarna.
Don't I have to do the sun puja every year?
Nope, just one time.
Oh, okay.
And then it's good. Okay. It's good after the sun puja just to do a little Mrityunjaya every morning. Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhin Pushti Vardhanam. You just, after your sun puja, you just make sure you do a little.
Like one mala?
You don't even need to do a whole mala.
Okay.
You know, just maybe at least 11.
Okay, that's not hard. But I don't do a sun puja. I do all the remedy mantras that you give me, and in the morning it's like 2 hours.
Exactly. That's why I said.
I gave myself one that's nine. I'm doing 9 malas for that.
Yeah, 11 times after is fine. In general, for Mrityunjaya, okay. What we do to charge up the Mrityunjaya is we do 1 mala in the morning, 1 mala at night for 40 days, and then after that,
I start that now?
Have you done 1 mala in the morning, 1 mala at night for 40 days before?
No, I mean. Should I start? No, but on Mrityunjaya, no. But should I start that before the puja, or do I do it after the puja?
It'd be wonderful if you did it before or during the puja.
Okay, I'll start it.
Beautiful. Start it on Sunday.
Okay. So I have a question. When you
this Sunday is a special day. So start it on Sunday.
Okay. When you have Sankranti, which just means the sun, right?
Uh-huh.
It's the only planet. And I was born, so I have Sun Sankranti born on a Sunday. So the Vara, that's extra bad, right?
No extra bad. It's just, you know, it hurts your 12th house, which is great. Anybody who decides to be your secret enemy gets sick and gets health problems.
I don't want that to happen. But anyway, it doesn't hurt the seventh house where the sun is.
Say that again.
It doesn't hurt the seventh house where the sun is.
It makes the sun weaker.
Yeah. Even weaker than Sankranti.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sankranti sun, often in general for a woman, makes a... Sankranti suns, women with Sankranti suns are more likely to be single.
Mm-hmm.
It will either ruin relationships. Say again?
That'll challenge your prediction.
What do you mean?
Well, you predicted that I was going to have a partner when I go into Jupiter. Now
yeah,
Jupiter,
because you're going to do your Sankranti puja and you're going to take care of that Sankranti.
Okay.
So we're not going to have to worry about that. But the people that don't fix the Sankranti, women particularly, and it's not written in the books or anything like that, but it's just, you know, I've seen a few older women whose husbands have died early, and I've seen, you know, younger women who just can't stay in a marriage with that Sankranti son. And not to say that every single Sankranti son woman is not married, but it just, it gives a lot of complications there.
But doesn't that have to do with who they're picking?
It gives issues.
If they're not picking a good partner for themselves, that they can't. They're picking someone they can't stay with.
No, I wouldn't say that. That's Venus does that. The Sankranti sun gives authority issues. Don't tell me that. Don't you tell me. I'll do it on my own.
Being dominated.
It gives all these kind of. It gives power struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your Sankranti puja that you're going to organize. That's great. And then 1 year after, mm-hmm. you can do a Vishti Karana puja. And I would say for your Vishti Karana puja, you can literally Viru, he does these, it's called the Shravana Shiva puja, and he does 5 of them every summer in the month of July, August. And you can just be the sponsor and be the one who leads that, and that'll be take care of your Vishti Karana. And
who
he just
needs that. Pay for it?
Well, yeah. So it means pay for the puja, and you're the one that sits offering the ghee into the fire.
Okay.
And then in the Sankalpa, he just has to add a few things. But so next year, Vishti Karana is an easy one to take care of. Sankranti is a little bit more work. Sankranti and Amavasya, they're bigger doshas.
So does that mean it's a longer puja?
The Sankranti and the Amavasya?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sankranti?
Yeah,
they're bigger doshas?
Yeah, they're bigger pujas.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Sankranti, it only applies to 0 through 1 degrees, even if it's an even sign?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the whole thing with Sankranti, and this will be an interesting research for somebody, but you know, when it's like really close, like yours is 0:40, so if we change the Ayanamsha, it's still going to probably be in 0 degrees. But you get somebody who's like 0:58, and depending on which Ayanamsha you use, it might be Sankranti or it might not be Sankranti. You know, when you get really close to the line there. So that's an interesting one for further research projects. I like to collect those kind of charts. But all right. So take care of that.
Find out what's going on in their life to see if it reflects on Sankranti or not.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting.
And when you get to know Sankranti, you get to know Sankranti.
Probably I'll get to know it when I'm not having it so much,
because
I'll know
something different. Exactly. Who here so far can be like, you know, that person has to have a cursed moon, or that person must have a cursed Venus, and you look at the chart and you're like, yeah, I got it.
Sometimes.
I see Maggie's laughing right there. I see Frank saying a little bit. Yeah, after a while you get to this point where you hear the person talking and telling their life story. And I remember it was Elliot. I don't know who of you know Elliot. But Elliot's like, you know, when they start telling their story, I just know when they have a Gandanta. He's like, it's just so obvious when they have a Gandanta. And I'm like, yeah, that's how a lot of these combinations are to me, you know? It's like, it's just, they're these life circumstances like, oh, that's Gandanta. Oh, that's a Sankranti. All right. So that answered your question. Yeah, Yama?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
The only question I have about it is how to pay, you know, when he says donation, it's too vague. I mean, it sounds like if you have a long, it's a lot of money.
I know. So
and I just want to know what it is. I'm not complaining about that. I just want to be clear on it.
Yeah. So
you can email me if you want. Or
okay. Something. No, he does. You know, and it depends on the priest. His puja lasts about 6-7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And and you know, there's probably about $100 worth of supplies. So say again.
I knew that part.
Yeah. So you can buy the supplies and bring it yourself, or you can have Elliot.
He's gonna do it for me. Yeah, he's gonna do it for me.
Elliot's gonna do it, not him. But yeah, Elliot's his assistant, who used to be one of my students. And he was
in the course.
Yeah, at one point in the course, I said, there's a priest that's coming. Can somebody volunteer to be, you know, to help him integrate a little bit? And Elliot volunteered and has been with him since. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah. So it'll be around $100 in supplies. And then, you know, somewhere around $400, I would say.
Okay.
You know, you could, yeah, somewhere, you know, 6 hours of work and 15 years of schooling to do what he's going to do in those 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Well, it's major.
Yep.
For the person.
Yep.
Life change.
And it works him. And if he does it at the place where it's a very complex, interesting ritual, and he does it very detailed. So
cool.
All right.
That'd be beautiful.
All right, so let's see who else we can squeeze in. Who's okay, now you're back on 530-292-3525. Is that you, Amrita?
That's me.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you. And are you with us, Parul? Not hearing anything from there. No, the 707 must be
me.
All right. Yes.
I'm 707.
Yes. So, all right. So let's check in with you, Amrita. What did you have any homework?
No, not specifically.
Okay.
No, we talk about Panchanga.
All right.
Week.
And so we got a little bit of Panchanga in. We got the Panchanga doshas.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions.
Yes.
I wrote them down here. Earlier you were saying about the, if you have three boys and the fourth one is a girl.
Yeah. But don't worry, Mateo's good. He had a girl, then he had some boys, then he had a girl, so there's no problems.
Yeah.
Because he had that girl, then a boy, the dosha can't happen.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like
between the third and the fourth child, that's
yep,
the place where
the exactly. like
it?
Nope, just the third to the fourth. So I'm one of three brothers. Now if my mother had a third child and it was a girl, dosha. But she stopped. She kept trying to have a girl, and after the third boy she said, okay, I give up. Now, if the fourth child was a boy, the dosha wouldn't be there. Four boys, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And four girls, no problem. Now, the remedy that Parashara gives is, he says, get, and the remedy kind of gives us a little idea of what's going on, but the remedy is to have a, you know, it's a puja that's done, unless a person is trained as a pujari. They should have a pujari do it. The remedy says to get an image, like a murti, a statue of a Brahma, a statue of Vishnu, and a statue of Shiva. And then a statue of Indra.
Okay.
So that means that the first three boys are the Trimurti. They're Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu. And so the saying goes, if there's three brothers, you can look at them and you can say, okay, which one is the Shiva, which one is the Brahma, which one is the Vishnu of the group? And so if there's three girls, the analogy is, then we have Lakshmi, Saraswati, and Kali of the three sisters. And you can look, there's going to be one sister that's the Kali of the group. One sister that's the creative of the group. Anybody one of three sisters or one of three brothers? No? Just me?
One of three brothers? I have a friend who was the third of three brothers, and then the mother had a girl, and he had some horrendous things happen to his whole family was just messed up. He's kind of a little bit, you know, traumatized, I think, for life for a little while.
Yep. They had to have that they went for number four.
Yeah.
And there's the dosha. I used to have my favorite place to eat when I lived in the Bay. It was in Berkeley. There was this Thai restaurant, and oh my gosh, I must have ate there three times a week, and whenever I ate there, all my friends came, so we would like fill up 2-3 tables, like, and the family, it was three daughters and a son. You know, they had three daughters and they were like trying for a son. And the son came, and the restaurant, it did okay, you know. The oldest daughter grew up, worked it, left. Next daughter, you know, the daughters all ran everything. And then slowly the youngest daughter, she went to college. And then the son came and started working in the restaurant. It folded a year later. Family ended up having to move to like some weird midwestern state, like I don't know, some Kansas or Nebraska or something. Imagine if you're a Thai family moving to Nebraska. My goodness. But they had such that their food, it was just the best, you know? Oh, I miss it still. It was Southern Thai. There's a difference between Northern Thai and Southern Thai. I like Southern Thai food. Northern Thai food has a kind of a Chinese flavor to it, where when you get more south, it gets more like Thai, more coconut and thick and buttery and but yeah, so you've seen it. You've seen the family go nutty when that third daughter, the fourth child comes along as a daughter. And so the remedy in that case would be, you know, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, Murtis, and a Murti of Indra. And those deities are worshipped. And so, like, today, the woman that came into my office, it was not... Did you hear the story of her earlier, Amrita?
No, I didn't. I missed.
Oh, you missed the story. It was a messed up family. Everything was going wrong. Mother was homeless. One son, 31 years old, was an alcoholic. Other son, 27, had his testicles removed because he had cancer. Testicular cancer. They removed his testicles, but the cancer still went up into his liver and is killing him anyway. And the youngest son just was diagnosed with leukemia, and the daughter, she's just fine. She's off doing some research thing in some nice university. But we can see the family dosha. And the interesting thing is that the son with leukemia and the one with testicular cancer, they were both diagnosed in the same month, same year. Imagine as a mother in January getting the news that one son has, you know, his testicles being removed from cancer, and the other son having leukemia. You know, get at the same time period getting that news. So yeah. And you have the example that you gave us already. And you know, people say, oh, that's a crazy thing, because sometimes people have three daughters or three sons and they're trying for another one. And I say, yeah, you know, you might not want to try for another one, and they think I'm some crazy astrologer. Oh, well. Oh, well. That's life, right? They got a 50-50 chance of having a good life after that. But, you know, the remedy, it remedies it. Remember, remedies are like Nichibungas. You know, yeah, it gets remedied, but it doesn't mean there's not some suffering first.
You said statue, so an actual...
Morty.
The image.
Yep, it's actual Morty. And that's how, if you read that section of Purusha, like, you know, for eclipses, they have a statue of the sun, a statue of the moon, and a statue of Rahu that's made. For the Gandanta Pujas, you have a statue of the Lord of the Nakshatra that the planet is Gandanta in. So a lot of those remedies, it's puja with a little Morty. And the Morty is the size of your thumb. It's not like some big 3-foot statue or something.
It says gold. Does it have to be like real gold?
So if the person has enough money to have it made out of solid gold, fine. Otherwise, it can be plated. Or, you know, if they can't afford gold, then it can be copper. Yeah. And you guys I've told you the story of the Amavasya Dosha Puja, right? And the forgiveness of $40,000? It's one guy, he had Amavasya Dosha, and you know, I said, you know, this, you know, with this, there's money might come in, but there's often huge losses and ups and downs in finances. He said, yes, how do I fix it? And so I said, well, there's this puja, or you can do this if you can't do the puja. He said, I'll do the puja. And I said, and so this, there's the puja's like this, but you know, we compromise like this. He said, no, I want no compromises. I want the puja exactly like it's supposed to. So I said, okay. He spent like $2,000 zone, you know, for the puja. And 2 weeks before the puja came, because it took, you know, a little while for the preparations and everything. He got gold images made, everything for the Amavasya puja. And 2 weeks before the puja, some letter came. He had applied for something. The U.S. Fed, Fed loan, whatever these people that like keep half of the U.S. under their thumb by keeping students in debt. They sent a letter that they forgave his student debt, $40,000 just forgiven.
Before he even did the puja.
Before, but the thing is, he had set up the puja, the date was set, and he was organizing for it.
Yeah.
So the remedy begins as soon as you plan for the puja. And also, you know, wedding muhurtas, moving in muhurtas, as soon as somebody picks a wedding muhurta and the wedding date's set and the wedding, you're coming up to the wedding, all the karma starts to show up. So if a couple starts fighting really bad after their wedding muhurta's been fixed, it's like, okay, like, this is not working. Let's give a better muhurta. Now, if I was more conscious for my first marriage, it would have been obvious that I needed to change the muhurta. It just, thing after thing started going wrong after my wedding muhurta was chosen. We started fighting, everything got, you know, And literally, on the way, like, because I got married in India, and in India you have a wedding necklace instead of a ring, I got pickpocketed on the way to the marriage, and they stole the wedding necklace out of my pocket. Now, how is that for an omen that marriage wasn't going to work? The universe was saying, do not marry that woman, but any which way. I didn't listen, but that's what my cursed Venus did. And, yeah, so like this, just another example of remedy giving effects, even just planning. So I just bought a new house, and literally, and so the house is missing the relationship corner, according to feng shui. When my partner went to go sign for the house, we got into the worst fight we've had, and then, you know, she flew to India like 3 days after signing. But like, you know, and so things were quiet for the next few weeks, but then she came back and it was just worst part of our relationship we've ever had. And so I got this carpenter to come and give an estimate on building a room in this missing corner. And we had a whole fight. Oh, we don't have money to build a room onto the house. And I'm like, no, we're building a room because, you know, this is causing all these problems. And it was this fight, you know, like, no, we're not going to build that. And it was like, just one more thing to add on to the fight. He came, gave his estimate, said it's this much, set the date for when he was going to come and start building. Literally that night, we had the first night where we actually talked to each other instead of argued. From the date he set, I'm gonna come and start working on it this day. So the remedy literally started working as soon as we planned to do the remedy. Now, if the fighting got worse when we planned that remedy, then, you know, okay, we don't have the money to do that. But at this point, I'll put all the materials on my credit card, you know, to build that, just to fix the issue. So like this.
That happened to me too when I got a ring for my Jupiter. As soon as I got it, I found this new job opening, just fell into my lap out of nowhere. And like literally the day the ring arrived at my house was the day I had the interview and they gave me the job, and you know, I hadn't even put it on or anything. So it's like, perfect. Yeah, okay.
Another time we can use this, you know, occasionally, when I recommend pujas, like, you know, Yama, I recommended a Sankranti puja the first time you had a reading. I remember there was this woman, she was a realtor in the Bay Area, and she wasn't selling any houses. And she had a car, there was a car collision on the way to the reading. And she was out of it when she came to the reading because she had just had basically a car accident. And car accident is Venus. So Venus is defunct. So I told her, you need a Lakshmi puja. She said, you're saying that because of my car accident? I'm saying it because your Venus needs a Lakshmi puja. You know, like the omen of her coming to my office and having a car accident meant something, Venus was afflicted. So I recommended a Lakshmi puja. And she was like in some financial like strains. And the Lakshmi puja was going to cost $700. It was like a 7-day puja. 7 days of Lakshmi puja that was going to be organized in her name and the whole nine yards. And so, you know, she's like, oh my gosh, it's $700. Are you sure I should do this? I said, go ahead and organize it and call me in a few days after. And so she organized the puja, had it, you know, organized, you know, paid for it, called me a few days later. I said, so after you organized it, tell me what happened. And she said, I said, what happened that day? She said, oh, that was 3 days ago. I don't remember. And I said, think about it. You know, what happened after? And she had a friend call her, was going to get married. She, like, all kinds of good omens came after she organized the puja. I said, great. The puja's going to work. Go ahead and do it. If she had called me 3 days later and, you know, had organized the puja and got all this bad news and bad things happened, I'd say cancel the puja. It's not going to work. But all this good stuff, good information, you know, just her friend calling her and saying she was going to get married, tell me that's not a happy Venus. That was like Venus calling her on the telephone saying, I'm happy. You know, like, all right. Any other questions, Amrita?
Yeah, always.
Say again?
I said thank you, and we have class next week?
Yes, we got 10 more minutes, though, so I'm going to dig into to Maggie here a little bit. Let's see. Vargas, right, Maggie?
Yes.
All right. You have a chart we're looking at, or am I giving you a chart? What was our plan? You got to talk more direct into the mic.
Okay.
looked like they needed to be changed.
All right. So why don't we start with one of those charts? Or hold on. I said Jimi Hendrix, didn't I?
Yeah.
Did he look at his chart?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Let's do Jimi Hendrix first. Let's see. I'm going to dig up my... and Maggie, you still seem really far away.
Is this better?
Yes, that's awesome.
Okay.
Beautiful, perfect.
What?
Let's see.
Okay.
Hendrix Jimmy.
November 27th, 1942 in Jimi Hendrix.
Uh-huh.
At 10:23.
Oh, you got 10:23, huh?
In, well, it's fine. A.M., P.M., A.M. in Seattle, Washington. No, I think that I already changed it. Freedom. I think that it was 10:22 maybe, or
I have 10:15.
Yeah, it was 10. You have 10:50.
15.
Oh, okay. Well, I.
Somebody Google Wikipedia for us real fast.
What?
I just said.
I got 10:15 too from Astro Data or whatever.
Perfect. Perfect. Great.
Oh.
So let's start
what
with.
What are we using?
And he's born, does it say Astro Data Bank where he's born?
Seattle, Washington,
okay.
Are we using 10:15 or 10:23?
Use 10:15 to start with.
Yeah, so I actually didn't know that much about Jimi Hendrix, so I had to do a little bit of research, but I guess he had stage fright, and that's one of the characteristics, I think, of Saturn in the Navamsa trine.
Okay, yeah.
Is that right?
Only in the first, though.
Yeah, and only in the first, okay, yeah. So then I looked at that being his first house with Mars and Rahu, and there was something about, I don't know, this is a little bit foggy now, you know. Yeah, I mean, like engineering type stuff, and it sounds like he got into sound engineering and stuff with all the guitar and the electric kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh yeah, and then Rahu there, and I looked into his childhood a little bit, and I guess he used to like steal cars frequently and drive them around. And Rahu makes one a thief.
Yeah, but what's he most famous for?
The music.
Yeah, but which part of it?
I don't actually know.
He's probably one of the most famous guitarists in the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's electric guitar.
Right? Yes.
And so what is that shown by?
Stringed instruments or the sun?
Oh, and that would be in the sixth house.
Not possible.
So that doesn't work. Okay.
I guess looking at the same chart.
Hmm.
Just different times, yeah.
Okay. So the sun has to be either the first, fifth, or ninth, then basically.
And
right?
It has to be in the first or fifth for Jimmy.
Okay. So then the time's gonna have to change a lot.
Not too much.
Okay, so if it's Gemini Lodna, be 11. Okay, so 10:38.
10:38.
Make it Gemini.
Gemini. I have 10:31 to make the Navamsha Lagna. What sign do you have the sun in?
The sun is in Libra.
Okay. Yeah, and at 10:31, the sun goes into Libra. I mean, the sun goes into the first.
Well, I'm in Trijo T star. Maybe why? That's disturbing, though, because if I'm working with all these little fine-tuned calculations, if they're off, then I don't. That's confusing.
In the end, as long...
difference between software?
In the end, whether it says 10:31 or 10:38, and that's why some people try and do this, like, time thing and this and that, mm-hmm. as long as we have our Vargas right, we're good. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
You know, as long as we have the right Vargas, we're looking at the right lineup. To me, I put sun in, and I was hoping this would be more obvious. I put sun in Navamsha Lagna. I can't imagine it being any other way. So they say 10:15, 10:31, you know, somebody guessed when they said 10:15.
Yeah. Okay.
So
if that was Navamsha Lagna, then that would put... So then nothing else
has been primed. Nope, nothing else except that sun with Mercury.
Oh, I don't have Mercury and sun together.
Where do you have it?
And Mercury is in Virgo.
Oh my goodness.
Are you talking about Navamsha?
Yeah.
Let's see, because Mercury, so basically, that's interesting, but he's not a good chart for that example, because I have his, using the Chitrapaksha Ayanamsha, his Mercury is 10:00 and 13 minutes. So, you know, if I changed the Ayanamsha to, let's see, I changed the Ayanamsha... to, because I'm using true Lahiri, not traditional Lahiri. If I use traditional Lahiri, then it's 9:59, which throws it in.
I have 9:55.
Yeah. So that's.
Should I change it to the one that you're using?
To me, it's all research on this level. And I have a handful of charts but then if we use that, then we are, let's see, to get that Navamsha there, then we, no, it's 10:31 still. But could we say that he has Mercury there? I don't know. How much, Frank, do you know, Frank Yama, do you guys know how much he, we lost Yama just now. How much did he write his own lyrics?
Yeah.
I don't know that deep. I mean, they weren't that great.
What do you say, Maggie?
Yeah, no, I think I remember reading that he did write.
Because if he wrote his own lyrics, if he wrote all of his own lyrics, then maybe we could have Mercury in the first, and it would support the the Chitrapaksha.
Sun being debilitated, is that how does that become?
It's debilitated.
Couldn't it work if we had the 10, you know, with the Aries Lagna? Because then, I mean, maybe it's a stretch, but with Moon being in the fifth.
Jimi Hendrix had to have sun in the Navamsha trines.
Yeah.
All right, and Nikola Tesla was the other one, right?
Yeah.
And you know who he is, yes?
Yeah, no, I don't know who he is. It's the car.
Because the car. He didn't invent the car.
Yeah, but his name is attached to the car.
Yes.
Does he have the image of the car, though?
Say again?
Something. He has the image of the thing that... His imagination was a big piece of his engineering, right? The intuitive kind of thing.
We have cell phones because of him. Wireless technology and different forms of electricity and electronics are the result of his genius.
And even things that
But I'm saying that his creative process, right, had a lot to do with imagining, like his, the images that he would get from his home. That's what I was reading anyway.
Uh-huh.
He would see things.
Junction.
Where? Which one?
K2 and Mars engineering.
It's a large one.
K2 and Mars is engineering and electrical stuff.
Okay. So that in the first.
And
I
so,
have 2340. I can't remember if I already altered it. With K2 and Mars.
2340? That sounds good. They say he was born at midnight. Which, you know, how many people are born at 12:00 midnight? So that's probably just a general estimate. And so if we do go, you said 2340? What, you're putting it in the fifth house?
Yeah, of his fifth house, in Virgo. No, I'm putting K2 and Mars in the first house because it says that he was like that from a kid, from the time that he was a kid. He had these images. So I thought K2 was the intuitive kind of thing. I guess it could be Pisces and Rahu too, maybe, but...
No.
You put K2 and Mars in
which house? First, yeah?
In the first house.
Okay. And what time do you have for that?
2340.
I have that happening at 12:13.
What the heck?
I got that too, 12:13.
Oh, you know what? It's because I'm using...
Is there something fundamentally flawed with my tree Jyoti star?
Say that again?
Is there something fundamentally flawed with my tree Jyoti star?
I'm not sure. But as long as we have that K2 Mars and Lagna, we're good. Because you see, even if there's flaws, if we have the Varga charts good, we're good. The time and...
Yeah, but what if people are giving me time?
I know.
Giving me birth times.
Yes. And so...
I'm not necessarily...
And with the few minutes we have, I don't want to go into that aspect of it, okay?
Okay.
But one to look at and send a letter to Andrew Foss about. But yes, we put K2 Mars in Lagna, and they say he was born during an electrical storm.
And
so I have a chapter in volume 2 that talks about circumstances of birth. So this K2 Mars is indicative of being born, you know, the K2 Mars in Navamsha Lagna is indicative of being born during an electrical storm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, magic. All right, let's do, pick your most important chart that you want to do a rectification with. And share that data with us.
It's a pretty simple rectification, but we can do it.
Doesn't matter. As long the goal is to be able to rectify. So,
the thing is,
if you notice when Frank read, you know, we were a little not 100% sure. If I wanted to be 100% sure, I would have been going through all the Vargas and doing a bunch of other calculations. But more important for me is that he was using his logic to rectify. He's like, well, I think it's this, and he's got reasoning behind it. And this one also, and he's got his reasoning behind it. And, you know, sometimes we're not going to do it perfect. That's life. But the big thing is more that we understand why we're doing it and what it should be and what's the likelihood of it. And so that simple, it's irrelevant of simple. What matters is, like, what are you using your logic and are you getting how this is working and what it means? So that's what matters to us. So go ahead and give us the data.
So it's June 20th, 1990.
June 20th, 1990. Time?
4:26 p.m. In Española.
Male or female?
Female.
New Mexico, you said? Did she say New Mexico?
Yeah, Española.
You don't even have to write the whole thing. You'll find it for me. And I don't have to spell it wrong. See? Found it for me. And, let's see. Give me...
Okay, I think that time...
Some type of...
You can say singer. She's a singer.
Perfect. Exactly what I want.
Well, what was the date and time again, real quick?
6/20/1990 at 4:26 p.m.
The 4:26 must be your rectified time.
It is, yeah. I think it was maybe 25.
Okay, so four.
Yeah, I think it was. I can't remember, but it wasn't with the moon, basically, I think it was maybe after.
Like 4:25, and then if it was 4:25, it would be 22 seconds later, and it goes into the rising sign, right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I just know that she's a singer, and so that had to be.
Had to be. Perfect.
It had to
awesome.
Be there. Yeah.
Awesome. And she likes to write as well.
And she'll write. Huh? So, yeah, Mercury's in the fifth.
Yep, perfect.
And then you said Ketu and the sun have something to do with...
And so notice that Mercury is in a Cancer, and so Mercury Moon is about healing. Mercury Moon is an Ayurveda combination. So Mercury is in that Cancer sign. So, you know, she's a singer, and she's a writer, and she probably is into topics of healing and natural medicine and stuff of that nature, yeah?
Yeah, her dad is very into that stuff, so I'm sure she'll get sucked into that. But her birth circumstances, she was, almost dead for actually the first, 13 years of her life. But she was born, this tiny, tiny child who was, sucking in the fluid from her... I don't know, what was supposed to be digesting in her, she was... spitting back out or something, and they didn't know until she was born, and she was like this tiny little ball of a creature and barely survived. But how would you see that from, maybe that's for the next, but it would be interesting to know how to see that.
So in general, we want to see afflictions to the Lagna, sun and moon for that kind of stuff. And okay. Here we have this Marnakarkasthana moon, but the Marnakarkasthana is being canceled by exaltation. And the sun, is there anything? Sun is aspect, so we have a cursed sun that's aspected by Mars and Saturn. So you see we have afflicted, a moon affliction that gets over, a sun affliction, but it's conjunct Jupiter, so Jupiter is helping to protect it. And then what's going on with the Lagna? Venus. Venus is in the eighth house. So we have some affliction with Lagna, sun, and moon. That, you know what I mean? For something of that to occur, that's happening. And then there has to be something wrong with that moon in the Vamsha Lagna.
Yeah, well, is there, I don't see any
malefic aspect. I'm not seeing anything bad as well. Let's see, Bhadaka is the sun itself. So not only a sun aspected by two malefics, it's also the Bhadakesh. But I mean, that would happen if someone wasn't born in that weird situation. I would dig into here, and we're not going to do it right now because we're all, I think, done and we've lost half the people. But I would look into the Drekanas. And there's things called Sarpa Drekanas, and there's these bad Drekanas, and the planets that are afflicting are most likely going to be in these negative Drekanas here, and
What else would I'd look at the D60 as well, and she was born. You know, we have the nakshatra Lord, which in this case is the sun. And remember what I talked about with Frank just a little earlier today. You know, that first dasha. You know, the energy of the first dasha is also the energy of how you perceive life. So with that, we see that it's the sun. Sun is the Baddha Kesh aspect of by two malefic. So we have that as the first, you know, part of life, this afflicted, cursed, this cursed Bhadaka sun, as that first planet. I mean, that sounds kind of crazy. Was there a name for that? What she had?
I can't recall.
Not that you know of, yeah.
There probably is. But she had like tons of surgeries. They went into her skull and into her trachea wasn't connected to her lungs. It was totally messed up.
And the world we live in today, they make people live. You know?
Yeah, she wouldn't have lived, there's no question.
Yeah. And so that goes into a realm that I only touch on for like one verse in volume 2. But there's something called Balarishta Yogas. Bala means children. Rishta means problems. So it's child problem yogas. And Balarishta literally means a child that dies before the age of one. And so Parashara gives us a whole section on the combinations that make a child die before the age of one. And if you really wanted to dig into this, and I would go into that chapter, and there must be some combinations from that chapter in this chart, and also the remedies that are listed for that Balarishta to have a birth of that nature.
Okay, yeah, I'll look at that.
Go into your PJC year one. I think he gets into that too a bunch. There's a lot of lectures.
Well, the interesting thing was that her mom went into birth while they were at some sort of Kundalini conference or something. So she's probably doing breath fire or something. And then they had to like helicopter them out with one of the head guys. It was crazy. I mean, it's a really good story.
And she's normal now.
It's pretty normal. She produced an album for some big company, so.
Moon in Navamsha Lagna. So that moon in Navamsha Lagna, sun, moon, and Venus in Navamsha Lagna have this special power of rejuvenating somebody. Sun gives the blessing of Shiva, moon gives the blessing of Devi, and is it Devi? And Venus gives the blessing of Lakshmi? No, of Durga. Venus, normally Venus doesn't represent Durga, but in the Navamsha Lagna, it's representing Durga. The blessing of Durga. And has the ability to... Yeah.
If I look at her father's chart, then he also, like, he should have been at the... Rahu should have stopped the birth, but Jupiter was there, and so Jupiter allowed this weird birth thing to have, this weird kid to come into the world. That's my take on it.
Uh-huh.
But anyway.
Yes. Well, good job rectifying.
A note on the Jimi Hendrix chart, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said the time was from his birth certificate, but I just checked it to use local mean time.
Uh-huh.
And you just have to switch it 8 minutes, and then sun's in the lagna in D9, so...
Uh-huh.
Maybe?
Oh, no. He had sun in Navamsha Lagna. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. My dad was a big Jimi Hendrix fan. Did you throw this on the shelf? So as a little kid, I got to listen to lots of Jimi Hendrix. My dad had like one of those cassette tapes, and you put it in and it just like just kept playing. Jimi Hendrix, you know the... Yeah. Alright. We'll call that...